Welcome back to Turning Hard Times to Good Times. I'm really happy to tell you that Dr. Quentin Henning is with me once again, this time to talk about Lion One metals. Quentin is a technical advisor to Lion One, which continues to report some very high-grade gold intercepts at its Tuvutu gold project in the Fijis. They put out some good news this morning, in fact, and we'll ask Dr. Henning about that in just a moment. Before I say hello to him, I'd like to just for those of you who may not be familiar with the story, Lion One Metals trades under the symbol LIO, LOMLF in the U.S., 156.4 million shares, $1.04 in Canadian money earlier today when I looked at it. That gives it a market cap around $162 million in Canadian money, or call it $126 in U.S. dollars. The company's pretty well funded, I think, with last I saw something like $55 million in working capital. So it's a story that I think, for reasons I think you'll be in agreement with after you hear what Quentin has to say. Thanks for joining me, Quentin. It's really, really good to have you on again.
Always a pleasure, Dave.
Always a pleasure to talk to you. I wonder, the Lion One story, maybe for those who might not be familiar, and I think a lot of our listeners are because it's been here with us for a while, but talk to us a little bit about the history of this company. And, you know, it was ready. It was moving towards production with a very high grade, relatively low, less than 1 million ounces, and it was moving towards production. But talk to us about how it's evolved into something that looks like it could be quite a bit bigger than initially envisioned.
Absolutely. That's actually a very good place to start the whole story. So if you look at Lion One, they acquired Tuvutu as part of a transaction. This is going way back when, effectively Wally Barikoff bought the Emperor Mine land holdings. Emperor Mine was a company that held the Vatukoula deposit, which is nearby, but also held this land position at Tuvutu. So in buying the company, Emperor Mines, he took control of Tuvutu, and it was around Tuvutu that Lion One was really built. I mean, this is the core asset for the company. Emperor Mines had done some work on the property dating way back to the 1980s and 90s. In fact, they even put a decline down. They did quite a bit of drilling. And, they kind of buttoned it up when the gold price was quite low right there at the end of the 1990s, early 2000s. But it was a high-quality project that needed to be reinvigorated with exploration. The company started working, Lion One started working on the property, I believe, around 2010 or 11.
Uh-huh.
They started drilling, and they came up with a revised resource, an upgraded resource, I think sometime around 2015 or 16, if I remember right. And at that time, I think the cutoff, using around a 3-gram cutoff, if I remember right, was a bit over 800,000 ounces. And the average grade of the resource was on the order of around 8 or 9 grams, I believe. Mm-hmm. Included, indicated, and inferred. A lot of inferred, I think. Mm-hmm. And look, the company did look at building a mine around that. But there was a certain need for critical mass, I guess is the best way to put it. I started helping Lion One in 2019 because I really like alkaline gold systems. They tend to be very subtle systems. You have to be a bit patient, but also, use some pretty specific techniques to try to target high-grade structures within these types of deposits. So Wally being, keen on game for testing, new ideas, allowed me to come in, and we did some basic work, CSAMT, which is a geophysical technique. We did some geochemical work in terms of stream sediment sampling, and we showed that this system is a much bigger system, both laterally, like across the caldera complex, mm-hmm. but also depth underneath the existing resource. So last year, in spite of COVID, the company, they got a new rig in. They got a new deep capacity rig. They drilled a hole, which was numbered 500. We call it the 500 zone now, and drilled a hole underneath the existing resource and hit a whopping, 12.7 meters, I believe, of 56 grams or something like this. it's phenomenal intercept. But importantly, that extended the deposit for another, say, 200 meters below what was known prior to that. So that was a huge win. And you know, in doing so, and now following up with that work and drilling multiple holes under this area, we can see that there's an extensive high-grade feeders system, maybe even multiple structures, at depth under the Tuvatu resource. Well, what does that mean? It means that this deposit now, you know, has more of that critical mass that I think is needed to make it a mine. Okay, now the company is has made movement here recently around taking in that direction. So they brought on Patrick Hickey as their COO, the chief operating officer. He is currently working on budgeting the development of a modest scale mine. And I believe they'll talk about that soon, about where they're going to head with that part of the story. But in the meantime, they've also hired Sergio Catalani, who's their exploration vice president. Sergio's expertise is in drilling advanced stage projects in preparation for mining. And in this case, the results today are infill holes. They're basically holes drilled in areas that the company deems to be, you know, likely near-term source of ore for a mine going forward. Mm-hmm. So that they're basically drilling to make sure that they know, understand completely where the loads are and how they're going to go mine this thing. And the results are phenomenal. I mean, these are just remarkable. You know, 21 grams over 7.5 meters, and you know, 21 grams over 2.5 meters, 33.5 grams over 2.4. I mean, it's just an astounding deposit. It keeps yielding just remarkable results like this.
Yeah, and as you say, I guess what they're doing now is firming up enough ore that they can start to think about producing. And I saw something on their presentation of 300 to 500 tons per day. Average grades they're anticipating between 8 and 10 grams per ton. Over what sort of mining widths do you envision?
Yeah, look, the true widths of these loads ranges from maybe a little less than a meter up to 2 or 3 meters in width. Mm-hmm. I would say the average width is on the order of a meter and a half-ish. And just to be really clear, these aren't epithermal veins. Like, they're not just a big, wide, banded vein. Seeing a lot of hot spring deposits. These are actually, the loads are comprised of networks of fractures, very small fractures that kind of, you know, crisscross each other, kind of like a meandering river or something, braided river, I should say. So when you're underground, what you're looking at is usually like a fracture network, a density of fractures that hosts a very high grade. But, you know, if they mine this thing over a meter and a half, that would be sufficient to maintain these, you know, a very high-grade gold mine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very, very strong strong results. And I believe they're doing some drilling from underground, I think, as well. And so you've got depth potential here. How deep can these alkaline systems go, Quentin? And do they tend to get richer at depth sometimes?
They do. If you look at the weighted average grades that we're seeing from the 500 zone, the thing at depth, you know, we're looking at 23 grams with the current intercepts, and also wider too. I think it's an average width of about 2.75 meters.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so yes, there is an expectation that the grades increase at depth, but you've already got high grade at surface here, or not, I shouldn't say at surface, but like, you know, in shallow environment, you've got high grade too. And this would be the first place you go mining. So it's a story that is good and will get better.
And you mentioned lateral along the caldera. I think you're looking at, what is it, something like 7 kilometers or something, or maybe it's more than that. Along the caldera, they've done a lot of surface work, or some surface work at least, that gives you a hint of potential laterally as well, right, from surface.
That's right, yes. The blank sampling, the stream sediments that were collected demonstrate that the gold system is much more extensive. There are quite a few rock chip samples, especially lately here, that have been collected by the team that show there's additional loads along strike, both to the northeast and to the southwest. And I mean, these alkaline systems are subtle. You got to be patient with them, but they tend to deliver over the long haul. So I think as the company expands from here, we'll see a deposit much like the Vaticola deposit, which is about 30 kilometers to the northeast, it'll evolve. You know, when Vaticola was first found, this is going way back, Western Mining actually mined it. And, you know, at the time when they started a modest scale mine. They didn't know how many ounces were there. Mm-hmm. But, you know, fast forward about 85 or 90 years since it was first operated, it's produced a bit over 7 million ounces, and it still has resources and reserves of, I believe, on the order of 4 million ounces. So, you know, these systems, they can grow and grow and grow.
As you pointed out in the past, these tend to be mines that end up in the hands of major mining companies. And as I was just saying in my introduction today, the big guys are doing very well now. The big mining companies are doing, gold and silver mining companies are doing very well, but they're going to need some resources. Certainly would seem as if this would be one of those that they might have in mind sometime down the road. Of course, it's still early days, but these alkaline systems, as you pointed out, they can be very large, very large. And so, as you just pointed out, the 7 million ounce mine that you just talked about. So I'm just wondering, going forward here, Quentin, with just about a minute left, what share price drivers should people be watching for? I guess there'll be more drill results coming out, or
They've got this news release. I think they're up to about 70% of the proposed infill drilling at this point. So there's going to be more news around the infill holes, just like they've had over the past few months. But they also have some more drilling down from the 500 zone. So I would expect some news out around that. But also, I think the development plans are going to be announced in the not too distant future. So,
that should be exciting.
Yeah, exactly.
That should be exciting.
Exactly. Yeah.